I think they're surprisingly more similar than most people would ever imagine that they might be. I mean, I get a chance to work with Hall of Famers on down to beginners, you know, so I have everything in between. But for me, the foundation for me really is movement, because I don't care what your sport is, what your activity is. If you can move better, then you can play better. I don't care if you're typing a, you know, 5-page paper and trying to see who does it the fastest. If you have better posture, you're probably going to have better performance, better movement, better precision, better alignment. You know, so I've really become infatuated, you know, through over the years, and I've been doing it over 20 years now, but I've been infatuated with movement as it relates to performance.
You're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. Now, here's your hosts, Nick and Shannon Birch.
Thanks for stopping by and checking out another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. We've got another great interview for you guys on today's episode, but before we jump into another combo with a fitness professional, we want to talk to you guys about a very important website. The Addicted to Fitness podcast.com website.
It's like blatant, shameless promotion right here.
We want to lead with it. Got to lead with important stuff. Well, technically, the conversation's the important stuff. But
yeah, we've got a lot of good stuff on there. We've got all the show notes. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we post some pictures, some behind-the-scenes pictures or references to things that we're talking about in the podcast.
Yeah.
And, of course, there's also our affiliate links,
yes,
which are very important because they basically represent the tried and true Addicted to Fitness rated and reviewed products.
Approved, yeah. ATF approved products. So those affiliates, Stick Mobility, the Hemp Coffee Exchange, and, of course, Amazon, which maybe you guys have heard of before.
Yeah, we have specific products that are on Amazon. So for all you Prime members.
Yes, and I think there's one actually. I've been recommending a lot of boxing gloves to people as of late, so I'll definitely add our preferred boxing glove that's on Amazon to the shop page, and maybe even a jump rope. I've been recommending jump rope to a lot of people. We have a special jump rope that we really like.
Such a good workout.
Yeah, so good. Great workout. Speaking of workouts, exercise is something that we really talked about in today's interview.
Yeah.
Today's guest on the podcast is Trevor Anderson. He is the owner of Better Every Day, which is a gym out in Orlando, Florida. And I met Trevor when I took a TRX certification course from him. And TRX is, now I'm already kind of making a mistake. TRX is the brand. The course I took was Suspension Trainer, Fundamentals course.
TRX is the brand.
TRX is the brand.
Product.
Yes, but everybody affiliates when they see the suspension trainers in the gym as a TRX.
Yes. Yeah, it's like Kleenex.
Exactly. Perfect. That's a perfect way of perfect analogy. Analogy? Is that right? Or comparison?
I don't want to think about it. My brain hurts.
This is a fitness, not an English show. You know, podcast.
Right,
anyways, but he was the instructor. He's actually a master TRX instructor, which you guys will hear about in the podcast more. I took the course from him and really fell in love with the suspension trainer from TRX, and found how beneficial it can be to every person. You know, basically, regardless of fitness levels, and how challenging it can be, but also how great it could be for rehab for people maybe coming off knee surgeries or have some lower back issues. I use it with almost all my clients, especially clients that love it. Some of them can take it or leave it, but most people really enjoy it, especially when I challenge them with it. But he may really turn me on to TRX, but also his teaching style was very infectious. And that really inspired me to want to speak to him more about his history and how basically he developed his training style. And the guy works with athletes, general population. He's a golf fitness expert, like we said, master TRX instructor, Under Armour mass instructor. I think
he's got quite a resume.
Yeah, and
that's
very
impressive.
Wide receivers coach at a very prominent high school football team here in the Florida area. Like Shannon said, just his resume goes on and on and on, and we don't want to get into it anymore. We want to prepare the man to speak for himself. So we're going to jump into the interview right now. I do want to say we started off the interview explaining his very interesting nickname that you guys will find out about is also his Twitter handle. And I think it's basically his social media handle, Twitter and Instagram. But it's very unique, and he explains that, how he got that nickname. So I felt like that was a great way to lead off the episode. Because
that was a good nickname explanation, yeah.
Yeah, because that was kind of, it was part of the, one of the reasons that it really inspired me to ask him for an interview, because he really puts it into action during his training courses.
Oh, now I'm very intrigued.
Yes, so without further ado, here's our interview with Trevor Anderson. My guest today is a former pro football player, a certified strength and conditioning specialist, and a TRX and Under Armour master trainer. I am very honored to welcome Trevor T.A. Anderson to the Addicted to Fitness podcast. How are you doing today, Trevor?
Awesome, Nick. Thank you so much for having me, man. How's everything going with you?
It's been going excellent, and I'll admit to everybody listening, this has been a long time coming. We tried to make this happen a while ago, but TA is a very busy man with a lot of different irons in the fire, which is awesome, and we're going to talk about those today. But one thing I wanted to get into first was, and people can check this out, TA's handle on Instagram and Twitter, I believe, is TA2Claps, correct?
Yes, sir. TA2Claps.
And I would love to, I know because I took a course from TA, but I'd love to have you describe to my listeners where 2Claps comes from.
Well, first of all, thanks again for having me. Mm-hmm. We need to do more of this type of stuff, man, as a community to continue to share like the positive things that we do. See a lot of, foolishness and craziness, but it's good to share this positive stuff. So I'm glad we're doing it, Nick. So thank you.
Oh, yeah, you're welcome.
TA2Claps. 2Claps came from a long time ago. I want to say starting in 2000. I started working with Vince Carter, basketball player. And I used to help out with his basketball camps. And it started there. You have sometimes in some of these camps, 600, 650 kids. I mean, this is when Vince was at his, really, really the height of his popularity, And we would do camps here in Florida. We'd do camps in Toronto, camps in New Jersey, wherever he was playing at the time. And there's something that one of his mentors and his high school coaches used to do. He used to say 2Claps, and it was just kind of a little hook that got people going. And, shortly after I started with them, they wanted me to take over to be the floor director of the camps. And, for me, I just kept on and I just kind of enhanced and shed a little bit more light on the 2Claps and made it a real part of the whole persona thing. And so when it came down to it and this whole social media thing came about, it was only natural for me to do 2Claps. But, I asked Coach, his name is Charles Brinkerhoff. I asked Coach Brink, I said, would you mind if I use 2Claps for myself? He said, I would be honored. So ever since about 2002, I've been using 2Claps. And, people kind of know me like that now. It's a great way to get people on the same page and getting paying attention, and especially when you're dealing with kids or big groups of people. I take a lot of pride in that 2Claps.
Well,
that's a way for us to stay focused and get things moving.
No, and the class, I took a TRX course from you, and I definitely agree that it was a perfect way to get, especially because we were all adults, and sometimes when we get a little older, we think sometimes we're too mature for things like a cheer or bringing the hands in or right. Something like that. But when you got a group of people that you want to have everybody on the same page, having them that kind of a mantra or a motto, I think kind of motivates them, and it was very motivating. So that kind of speaks awesome. To your approach, I think, too. But I wanted to before we get into all the different aspects of fitness that you are currently involved with, I'd love to know where it all started. Like, was it a certain event that had you kind of start your obsession with all things sports and fitness, or did you, young as you can remember, were you always just out playing?
Well, I've been playing sports since I was 6 years old. I started playing soccer, actually. And, soccer was something that kept me active and allowed me to get my energy out so I didn't drive my mom and dad crazy at home. But I found that I really, really excelled at it very quickly. As soon as I realized, my very first game was final score was 0-0. The reason why is because I was standing by the goalie because I didn't want anybody to score on us. And they said, well, TA, you need to be doing the scoring. you know, that's why it's 0-0. I said, oh, okay. So as soon as I figured that out, I started scoring goals, and I realized that that's what the whole thing was all about. So, and that was 6 years old, and then I came up and, you know, I started playing football, baseball, and, you know, baseball is probably my favorite sport growing up. And then I ended up playing basketball in high school and running track, and it just kept on. But, you know, my fitness, you know, love really probably started in the backyard with my dad, where I used to work out with my dad. And my dad would teach me, like, son, you don't have to lift the whole world, but you got to move it fast. I didn't realize how important that lesson was, you know, a long time ago. And you have to go through a full range of motion, and you got to maintain, you know, the right technique. And these are lessons that I learned at a very young age, and my dad instilled that in me. And then when you put good work ethic on top of that, you know, I was seeing it every day. My dad sometimes worked 3 jobs and, you know, still had time to go in the backyard and work out with me. So I knew that there was always time. If all I was a kid just going to school and playing around, clearly I had time to exercise myself. And so that's where my passion really started.
Wow, that's a great story, and a great kind of beginning that I'm sure led to the life that you lead now. And you've trained both, you know, pro athletes and then just everyday, what more people would refer to as the general population. Right. Is there a different approach you take with those two different demographics, or is it all the same?
I think they're surprisingly more similar than most people would ever imagine that they might be. I mean, I get a chance to work with Hall of Famers on down to beginners, you know, so I have everything in between. But for me, the foundation for me really is movement, because I don't care what your sport is, what your activity is. If you can move better, then you can play better. I don't care if you're typing a, you know, 5-page paper and trying to see who does it the fastest. If you have better posture, you're probably going to have better performance, better movement, better precision, better alignment. You know, so I've really become infatuated, you know, through over the years, and I've been doing it over 20 years now, but I've been infatuated with movement as it relates to performance. Strength is important, but strength is more about durability for me. If we can be durable enough to put the work in necessary to be good at what we do, great. But it has to start with a strong movement foundation so that we build, when we do build strength, we don't build it on top of dysfunction. We build it on top of good form and function. So that's really what the foundation is. And it doesn't matter if it's NBA, NFL, Major League Baseball, or like you said, the general population, everybody needs great movement. Now, when you get to the top end of the top, you know, 70% of the stuff will be similar from sport to sport, or from person to person. But when you get into that top 30% or so, then you start dealing with the sport specific stuff and, you know, the competitive edges that they need and things like that. So, but for the most part, I start with everybody pretty much exactly the same.
So obviously the movement is the huge kind of physical component of everybody's training that you, or the training you provide all demographics. What do you, right, would you say the kind of the more the mental approach to it? Because you're also, as we already talked about, you're a very motivating person. I think that's also huge for a lot of personal trainers or fitness instructors or anything. What type of mental approach do you take, or is it varies between the different demographics?
Well, yeah. So for me, there's a saying that I always say, you get your mental toughness through your physical challenges. And, you know, if you can challenge yourself physically, you know, being able to take yourself to a limit that your body might not be comfortable with, I think is the key. I mean, we got to hurry up and get uncomfortable, and then we need to get comfortable being uncomfortable. You know, and for us, you know, our bodies are made to adapt, but they're also made to, you know, the brain is the most sympathetic, you know, organ you have in your body. So it's trying to make sure that you don't, you know, overexert yourself and do too much, because it wants to keep you safe. But the only time change is ever going to happen is when we press the limits of what, you know, of our physical capabilities. And what I find is, outside of just, you know, mental coaches are great, and psychologists, sports psychologists, they're all awesome. But I really think that the real mental conditioning happens through physical conditioning. And if we can get a high, you know, kind of understanding of how to push ourselves, get the most out of ourselves, we can find a high level of excellence in everything that we do.
I totally agree. And we've talked about it on the podcast before. You know, the way I kind of read my, I would say my epiphany or fitness epiphany happened when I started doing kickboxing. And it was very physically, but also mentally demanding because you're essentially fighting. You know, you're fighting another grown person. So it takes a lot of mental fortitude to try to, and especially that most of the training is done by yourself. You know, obviously you have a team, but doing the road work and doing the bag work, all that stuff, which I'm sure with every other sport's the same way. It's you're the what you put into it, convincing yourself to get out there and train. When nobody's looking,
especially when nobody's looking.
Exactly. I know that was a famous quote. I can't remember who said it, but I know Mike Tyson talked about, you know, the reason he got up at 4 a.m. is because he thought that his opponent was getting up at 4 a.m. to run, so he was doing the same thing. So it's having that kind of mental fortitude and that own self motivation to keep working is a huge part of fitness.
It is, and you see it in through the sports world too. I mean, the most successful people have the most self-discipline. I mean, there was a young lady that I worked with on the LPGA Tour a few years back who had a good relationship, you know, a good professional relationship with Tiger Woods. And, you know, they lived and practiced in the same area and stuff like that. So, you know, she's very competitive herself. And she said, you know, Tiger, we should play this week. He goes, okay. She goes, when do you want to play? He said, okay, we'll play Friday. She said, I'm going to take you down, right? And he says, okay, then. He goes, well, let's meet at 7 a.m., right? So they go to meet at the range at 7 a.m. She figures she's going to get there like 6:15 so she can be, you know, getting ready. So by the time he gets there at 7, that everything's, you know, she's going to, you know, have a leg up on the competition. Well, she gets there at 6:15. This guy's in a full sweat already at the range having hit, you know, God knows how many balls and done how many exercises already by the time she got there. And she says to him, I thought you said 7 o'clock. He said, I did. So it's like his competitive mentality and his competitive advantage was really driven by the physical challenges. And if he put himself through that the right way, I mean, that's why he's, you know, one of the best that's ever done it. You know, despite the fact he's had injuries and things like that, I mean, you can't look past the greatness that he's been able to exhibit.
No, I totally agree. And that's what all the stories behind the most, you know, the legends of different sports is the fact that they were they trained constantly. You know, it's not like obviously I'm sure they have great God-given abilities or naturally abilities, but they developed their skills and then they would work. Their work ethic was better than everybody else. That's really what set them apart.
I mean, the hard thing with athletes like that is to get them to sit down somewhere and take a rest, the appropriate amount of rest, to be honest. You know, I've got a lot of people like that where I'm like, dude, sit down. Like, you've got to rest. Can I just hit 100 balls? No, you can't. Can I just shoot 200 jumps? No. Use today to rest. Let yourself recover so you can have a really powerful next day as opposed to a bunch of kind of like, you know, vanilla days across the board. Let's have some really potent days and then rest really good, and that way we can maintain, you know, our competitive edge so that we're not, you know, we're always maximizing every time we step foot in the court or in the weight room or in the field, you know?
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Now, speaking of that idea of recovery, what are some of the current methods that you recommend, or because obviously working with pro athletes, recovery is huge, as you just mentioned. Are there specific kind of tactics that you use now or you suggest that help with the recovery for those athletes?
You know, absolutely. I think recovery is important. I think that anybody that thinks about recovery, they need to first look at movement prep. You know, I know it sounds kind of odd to really kind of throw you back like that, but did you prepare the body properly to perform in the first place? Because that's going to make your recovery process more efficient and even better and more effective. So let's just assume that we've done everything right on the front end. Foam roll, I use for movement preparation as well as, you know, some recovery to kind of deal with the fascia. And just let the muscles just relax and feel good while you're rolling. You know, a lot of people say they roll, you know, do foam roll to relieve lactic acid and all this kind of stuff. Maybe that's one of the things that it does, but it's really more about fascia and myofascial release. And, you know, I like to, if a muscle gets tense, if we work a muscle, if we activate a muscle, I like to honor that muscle by taking it through an active range of motion afterwards, not just a static stretch, but an active stretch at the end. Where we're moving through a range of motion as we do it, and then, you know, finish up on foam roll. And then I also love modalities like I love Theragun. You know, we have a couple of Theraguns that we use, and we kind of just keep them available for our athletes, you know, not only for movement prep, but for recovery. Something that I don't have yet, which I'll be getting soon, which I do believe in, is the Normatec, the Normatec boots. Right. Have compression. You used those?
Correct.
Yeah, that compression is mm-hmm. it's amazing what it does, especially for the competitive athlete, field athlete, or the running athlete in the running world. It's a great modality to help with some quick recovery. You know, I like ice. You know, as far as it relates to like cold tub and things, but it's not for everybody. People mm-hmm. respond different. You know, my thing is try it out. If it has a good effect on you, keep doing it. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't, then let it go, because ice is not mandatory for recovery. But it's definitely a choice and a modality to help you kind of stay on top of your game on your rest days.
Could you describe that Theragun? Because I feel like I know what it includes, but I would love to hear a little bit more details about it.
Sure. So when we went to the TRX, conference summit in Austin, you know, the Theragun company was there, and I had seen it before, and I liked it. One of my Major League Baseball players brought his in, and he left it with me just so that when he came in, he didn't have to keep bringing it back and forth. And I was like, man, this thing is amazing. And what I noticed about it was it allowed me to immediately go to a very specific place and start to free it up. So at first it was more like, okay, this feels good, right? But what I started to realize is that then that was more after the fact, if I was using it in more of a reactive manner. But when I started using it for, activation, I started to realize, wow, you know, it stimulates kind of neuroactivity. And it just feels good. It feels like you're getting, you know, some action going on that muscle. I mean, this thing is pumping 40 times per second. Can you believe that? It's moving 40 times a second where you can barely see it. It also comes with different tools, like it has a blunt one, it has a ball one, and it has a little point one if you want to make something more localized and specific. And when I was out in Austin at the place, the Theragun representative at TRX, at the TRX summit, I had something going on like in my like the base of my neck, like in my upper back, and I just couldn't seem to shake it. And I had been on and off of planes and all kinds of stuff. And I was like, it's like, right. So she kind of identified where it was. She used a little pointed, tool that they have. Mm-hmm. And literally within 5 minutes, the challenges I had been having for 3 or 4 days were gone and they never came back. So, you know, being able to have modalities that, you know, you can get an immediate impact from, I think are very important. And like I said, I'm not advocating one and not the other or what have you, but that's one that I have found that I practically use to this day, not only on myself, but with all my athletes. And, you know, everybody seems to have pretty good results from it.
Wow, that's cool. And I'm looking at a picture of it right now. It looks almost like a handheld blender, but as TA described, it's got different okay. attachments that, yeah, I can imagine, man, 40 I essentially moves per second. That's pretty interesting. I would love to research that some more. Wanted to talk to you about, obviously we just talked about the recovery aspects that you're interested in as of right now. What are the exercise modalities? I know you're always kind of expanding or building on your toolbox or adding more tools to your toolbox. What right. is there something specific that you're interested in learning more or working on right now?
Well, yeah. So I'm like a mad scientist, man. You know what I mean, Nick? I'm always trying to figure things out, you know, because it's like, you know, if you're making a cake, right? You know, most people know that the basic ingredients that go in a cake is flour and sugar and milk and eggs or what have you. But you can't just take flour, sugar, milk, eggs and throw it on the counter and then it just turns into a cake, right? Like you have to have the right combination of each. And then when you find how many eggs and that's too much sugar. Oh, that's not enough. Oh, I need more flour. Once you find out the amount of each of those ingredients, then you mix it all together. Now, when you have the right formula, now you've got to turn the oven on. And now you have to have the oven on the right temperature. 600 degrees is too much. 100 is not enough. What's the right temperature? So what I find myself doing is I find myself figuring out basically from scratch how to make that cake with myself. And if I can deem it, if I can go through enough trial and error with it with myself and deem it practical, I'll unveil it and I'll roll it out to my clients and to my people. So I try to make sure, like, I don't like gimmicky stuff, man. You know, if it's just something to do to try to make it look different than everybody else, I'm not with that. It's got to be practical, man. You know, every tool is not great for you. But I like to use basic things. I like to do simple things as well as I can. And one of the things that I've really been, you know, playing around with is, I mean, more than anything, it really doesn't require any equipment at all. And it really is just identifying different elements of stability. I think stability is one of the most important aspects and elements of all of performance and fitness. And, you know, people want to produce more force, but then they don't focus on stability. It's like, if you can be more stable, you can produce more force. That just makes sense to me. But how do you turn on the mechanisms that allow you to be more stable? So that's why I've continued to evolve my dynamic stability program and my squat warm-up and my, you know, my plank series. I keep adding and adding and adding and adding because I find more and more effective ways to kind of turn on all those light switches to prepare somebody's body to perform for any exercise or activity that they're doing. So when it comes to me, I like finding unique ways to activate the body, typically through stability and then mobility and then ultimately coordination to bring it all together.
Wow. That's it seems like, you know, the perfect trio, because it's I recently went to a certification course and they talked about how a lot of, unfortunately, some trainers will fall into the mindset of, you know, you progress by adding more weight, But right. It's really, if you're adding that weight in a bad range of motion or an exercise where you're not stable, you're essentially diminishing returns. You're not really getting stronger. You're just essentially you're probably leading yourself to more chances of injury.
Exactly. So yeah, I think you see that a lot. I mean, a lot of people are just regurgitating information that they see somebody else do. But you know, if they see you do it, Nick, with a certain client, he might be an MMA fighter, you know, and they're a triathlete. Mm-hmm. You know, just because you saw a cool exercise you thought was good doesn't mean that it's good for the triathlete. Maybe it's good for the MMA guy, but not the triathlete. So. Right. You know, we've got to be smart in this industry with Instagram and social media and stuff. It'll have you to believe that everything is good for everybody, you know, and you really, really, that's why I'm never concerned. That's why I said, I'm glad you're doing what you're doing, because we're sharing information, you know, and we're sharing positive information. And hopefully people are listening to it, because this is not about who can do the fanciest, newest thing out there. This is about who can use the combination of fundamentals that we've been known for years to get the highest level of success out of the people that we're working with. Despite whatever their goals are, whatever their level is, we got to make sure that we get people on the right page with their body for what they need for them, not for what we want to look cool on Instagram. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. I couldn't agree more. That is a huge, huge, and that's a great lesson for everyone. And that, like myself, because I'm relatively young to the personal training industry, so I'm slowly, but more and more people I talk to, like yourself, TA, they keep reiterating the same thing, is that, you know, you got to adapt your training style to the individual person. You can't have I might be in love with right now one stick mobility. I'm working a lot with that right now. I might think it's great for everyone, but it's not going to be great for everyone. You got to dictate what you provide your clients based on their fitness goals, but also their fitness abilities. So
that's very true. Very true. You know, I work with Under Armour and you know, there's something that Kevin Plank, the CEO, says. He says, we want to make sure that we're always dictating the tempo. You know, in the first 5 years, he sold one T-shirt, one prototype of one T-shirt, and became very successful over that five-year span. All the while, can you imagine everybody's like, you should make women's clothes. You should do shoes. You should do, you know, baseball. You should do, like, everybody everywhere was saying what he should do. But as soon as you let someone else dictate the tempo, then you start losing. You start losing control of exactly what you do. And what happens is, with social media, we say, oh, so-and-so down the way is doing this. Oh, so-and-so's company is doing this. I've got to do that too. And now you're letting somebody else dictate your tempo. You have to be the one that dictates that, you know, and that just comes with experience, you know. And I know my, you know, next thing you know, I could have some huge facility sometime soon, you know. But right now, you know, that's not for me, you know. Maybe it's for me in 6 months from now. We'll find out. But I got to dictate my own tempo. I can't let, because, you know, Nick has a 100,000 square foot facility, let that be something that I do, because, you know, that's not for me. That's for Nick, you know, and we just, as long as we can find our way, you know, and with good information, as long as we're helping people get better, then we're always going to be successful.
That's also another great kind of motto and a mindset to have. And I've been to your facility. It is pretty big, though, I will admit.
7,000 square feet right now, currently.
Yeah, and you have so many different types of, I don't want to call them toys, because they're not toys, but you have so many different types of training apparatuses there that with the TRX and then the heavy bags and the weights and the basketball court that you can do pretty much anything and everything. Very adult playground-esque. So, TA, and also it's called Better Every Day, which I love too, because that once again kind of reaffirms your mindset that, you know, you're not coming there just to get a sweat on, to get a, obviously you'll do that, but you're also improving yourself every time you come there. So,
yeah, I mean, to me, it's about culture. I mean, you know, the thing about any business, it's fitness is not who we are. Fitness is what we do, but you know, our culture is who we are, you know, how we build it, how we grow it, how we interact with people. It's not what we make people do that's important. It's how we make people feel, you know, and what we're trying to do is make sure that we touch somebody every single time we come in, but then we encourage that interaction amongst each other as well. You know, yeah, I don't have a bunch of AC in my gym. I know that, but people don't come to be cool. They come to train and they're going to sweat and they come and they roll their eyes. Oh my God, they're killing us today. But then they're back tomorrow because the culture is stronger than whatever they're going through in there. And they realize at the end of the day that they're leaving there better than when they walked in. And that's what the whole Better Every Day is all about.
That's great. Now, before we jump off this, because I know you're a busy guy, I wanted to ask you, I ask all the people I interview, all the health and fitness pros, is if you had one piece of health advice to give the listeners, what would it be?
Do something. I would say do something. Most people are waiting for a perfect storm before they start, right? Oh, I got to wait till Monday. What's Monday mean? It's just another day. Like, let's start today. You know, all that, if it's Thursday and you're waiting till Monday, that just gives you 4 days to change your mind, you know? I think that we're so impulsive in our lives with so many other things, with shopping and eating and all these other things. Let's be impulsive about our fitness, impulsive about our exercise. You know, if you feel like you want to run, man, jump up, put your shoes on and go run a lap, you know, run around the block. You know, what I find is that, look, I've never liked running like distances. I love sprinting, make no mistake, but distance running for me just never really appealed to me. And, you know, the other day I put out some challenges like, hey, listen, guys, all right, we're going to run a mile today. And I don't like running miles, but guess what? When I put it all out there and we all do it together, it becomes a whole different deal. And then what I realized is when I ran that mile, I went, wait a minute, man, I feel kind of like warmed up now. Like now I'm ready to do something. And you'd be amazed that by just getting up and doing something, even when you don't feel like it, it gets those juices flowing, it gets that blood flowing, and it gets you say, okay, hey, let's do more. Okay, let's do some push-ups. Okay, let's do some TRX rows. Okay, let's do some bodyweight squats. Next thing you know, you got a whole workout in and you got your body moving today and you did something to get better rather than let yourself get worse. So I would say my biggest piece of advice is if you're going to be impulsive about your fitness and movement and do something today that's going to help you get better movement wise.
Awesome. Another great gem. And TA, I really appreciate you coming on. I'm glad we finally got this in.
Yes, sir. Me too.
And I'm going to give you a little bit of time here at the end. Please put out all your contact information, your website, so if people want to get a hold of you, either if they live in the Orlando area or, you know, remotely, because I know you have some other programs, so I think people can kind of connect with you remotely. Please go ahead and give those out.
Certainly, yeah. So on Instagram and Twitter, it's TA2Claps. It's TA, the number 2, and Claps, CLAPS, TA2Claps. You can reach me on there. And then also, you know, Facebook, you can go to Better Every Day and look me up by my name. You'll find it there. Also, my websites are my personal website for Coach TA is betterevyday.me, M-E. And then for our gym is betterevydayorlando.com. And I also have what you'll find on that betterevyday.me site, a bunch of information about me and the stuff that I'm doing. But also, I have an online program that I launched a couple months back that's been quite successful to this point, probably more so than I thought it was going to be. You can either get really personalized, individualized, day-by-day programming with me that we can keep track of, or I put out periodic general programs that you can just purchase for, you know, a nominal fee on there, and I can stay up with you and stay in touch with you and, you know, reach out to me anytime if you ever have any questions or tips or, you know, anything that I can help out with. Please don't hesitate to ask, and I look forward to hearing from you.
Awesome. TA, thank you so much for coming on once again, and hopefully we can do this again in the future.
I look forward to it, Nick. Thanks so much for having me, guys, and everybody keep getting better every day. Two claps.
There we go. Thanks, TA.
Yes, sir. Take care. Bye-bye. Bye.
Hope you guys enjoyed that interview with Trevor Anderson. Like we said before, we played the interview. The man has quite the resume, and, you know, fitness has been a large part of his life from a very young age. You know, been playing multiple sports, played them even on the professional level. So he's seen it all, really.
I like that he is one of the, like, first pioneers of slam ball.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, right?
That's actually really cool.
Yeah, I know. As far as just kind of the wide range of expertise in kind of the fitness field, this guy has one of the broadest I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Honestly, going from, like you said, slam ball, played professional football, also a golf expert, been on the Golf Channel multiple times as an fitness instructor for golf.
He's got 20 years under his belt of the fitness industry, so, I mean, he's racked up quite the range, and, I mean, he's mastered a number of things, too,
yes.
So not just playing in certain areas, but really, like, honing in and developing those skill set, which I think for you as a personal trainer must be very interesting, because you can kind of look at all the various areas you're interested in, and just because you're mastering one, it doesn't mean you need to stop there.
Right, and exactly. He's a great example, and like him, the other fitness professionals we talk to, they all seem to have somewhat of an underlying theme that runs through both of their, or all of their, I should say, their training ideals, and that is proper movement. They really focus on hammering down on proper movements and mobility, and how we need to move correctly before we can do any sport-specific training, or even any, you know, if it's a general population client, movement is key. Proper movement obviously prevents injuries, but also increases sports performance. So he is huge on that in any type of discipline, any type of sport, that obviously you can see. He trains multiple sports. He trains athletes in different variety of sports, but then also trains the everyday person that comes off the street. So, and in that unifying ideal of proper movement is something that I think is what I'm finding out now is kind of paramount. It's like probably one of the bottom of the pyramid, like kind of foundation. Well, that's what I'm looking for.
I feel
foundation.
Like it's kind of also that, like, for all you listeners who are interested in finding a good personal trainer, if they don't have this as their foundational belief, kick them to the curb.
Hmm.
Because I feel like it's a real differentiator between really good trainers and people that can make a difference and not lead you to injury,
mm-hmm.
and the people that are just there to satisfy a quota or just there to, like, take up a half an hour. Like,
yeah.
I hate to say it, but I don't think I've ever had a personal trainer that educated me on how important, like, the movement and the form and everything was.
Right.
Like, they would give me just, like, you know, do this, do that, but none that actually educated me on that.
Yeah, I've been learning that as I go. I've obviously, when I was first started personal training, it was just like, get people to sweat, get people to burn calories, get people huffing and puffing.
Burn.
Yeah, but now it's totally evolved, and I've learned and I've matured to know that that's not really the most sustainable way to create a long-lasting or a regular training program.
Well, and I liked in the interview, Trevor Anderson specifically talked about the importance of recovery.
Yes. Yeah. He talked about, I believe it was the Theragun he was talking about. It's pretty badass.
Yeah, I need to go Google this.
It's so fun. It's so cool because I've heard, like, a couple other people. It wasn't called the Theragun, but there was multiple other ones very similar. It's basically gyms are using it now to help, like, people with their clients with recoveries. Usually, like, athletes more. Obviously this is something that, you know, general population. Because, I mean, I'm on the kick of weekly massages. Because I mean, how beneficial I am, and I'm turning it on to my clients because you really need to have that recovery aspect of your fitness.
I'll put in my plug here. It's all about wellness and the fact that...
Self-care?
Well, no. It's about... It's not waiting until you're injured. It's preventative care. And that's exactly what massage is. It's preventative care that if you're doing any kind of strenuous activity, then... Or even when you're not. I mean, heck, if you're sitting in a chair all week, you should be getting some body work done. So that's my plug.
That's a great piece of advice from Shannon. And also, if you guys want some advice from Trevor himself, you guys can check out his website.
It's a website.
Website, BetterEveryDay.me. BetterEveryDay.me is the website for his gym, and you can get a hold of Trevor on there to contact him. But also, as you guys heard in the beginning of the interview, his social media handles are TA2Claps. So now you guys know the story behind how he got the nickname Two Claps.
And I feel like we're not even going to put that in our social media or our show notes because you have to listen.
Yes, that's right.
It's like only the people that listen get it.
Mm-hmm. So after you visit Trevor's website, make sure you head to addictedtofitnesspodcast.com to more show notes about how to get a hold of Trevor or see some exclusive pictures, as Shannon mentioned in the beginning.
Yep.
And check out that shop page and our affiliates. Support them, and it helps support the podcast.
And please leave a review in the Apple iTunes, what is it, the podcast,
yes.
The podcast app. My brain went a little dead there. But please leave us a review really anywhere. You could even leave us a review on Facebook if that is mm-hmm. your desired wish.
Yes.
But give us some feedback. Let us know how did you enjoy the interview. And if there's any other great people that you're interested in hearing from, give us a shout. Let us know.
That's right. And we always read our reviews on the episodes too.
Yep.
So if you leave a little comment, we'll make sure to give you a shout out on a future episode. You got anything else for him?
That's it.
All right, this has been another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast, and we'll check you next time.
Bye.
For all things Addicted to Fitness, you can check out our website, addictedtofitnesspodcast.com. You can also give us a follow on Twitter, @TheATFPodcast, and like and follow the Addicted to Fitness podcast Facebook page. Last but not least, please give us a rating and review in the iTunes store. Thanks.